Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Sam Panionovich, meanwhile, is on the phone, our WGN sports guy. Hi, Sam. How are you?
I'm good, John. Yourself?
Why aren't you in the studio? I like it when you sit next to me.
Guilt tripping already. Just when we got started, I thought we were going to have a nice little chat, and you got a guilt trip right away.
All right, let's do this. How well did you do picking five NFL games over the weekend?
2-2. So it was a weird week. I think the top 10 picks in the contest in Vegas, the Super Contest, the top 10 picks went 0-10. So it was a really weird week. A lot of the favorites won. You know, I like to pick the underdogs, but 2-2. And actually, I was shocked to, when you look at the stat sheet and the Bears and Panthers game, I was shocked that we did pick the Bears, and we haven't lost a Bears game yet this season. I was shocked that the Bears won that game when you look at that stat sheet. It's amazing because they pretty much lost in every category but turnovers, and they win that game 17-3. It was ugly. It wasn't pretty, but we got it done.
Yeah, let's just quickly say Sam is in a national contest. He and I have been sort of putting our heads together and picking five games against the spread each week that we're most confident in. And by that, I mean that Sam is most confident in. And if he is in the top three in this national contest, he wins $1 million or $72,000. But a million's the top prize, right? A million?
Yeah, a million. The top 50 actually plays. Top 50 spots actually get money. I think that ends up being the top 3%. So if you're in the top 3% of 2,700, you make the cash. We have a 2-2 record this week, and we've got the Washington Redskins tonight plus five. So what? We could still end up with 3-2, and we'd be right there. We're in the top 300 right now.
Well, that's pretty good.
Yep.
And yet I feel so bad because I told you to bet against the Vikings, and the Vikings won and beat the spread. So
you told me to bet against the Cowboys, and the Cowboys won 40-10.
Oh, I knew that. I thought I advised you on the Vikings game, too.
No, we didn't touch Vikings game.
Okay, good. And then on the Bears game, how happy should Bears fans be? Like, we lost that game. We have nothing to be happy about. I mean, obviously we realize now we have a terrific defense, but we sort of knew that. And you can't win if you can't score some points, and we still can't score any points. So I'm not so sure that that was a good game for the Bears.
It was the first time in a long time a team has won with only five first downs, that a team has won with only four pass completions.
Four.
I mean, you look at Mitch Trubisky's numbers, and everybody talks about, well, it was time for Mitch Trubisky. He was 4-for-7 for 107 yards. Now, he didn't turn the ball over.
Wait, he only attempted – a starting NFL quarterback only attempted seven passes in the whole game?
He attempted seven, completed four for 107 yards.
Well, he's got that going for him, but I – wow, I do not remember us being, I mean, I know we run well. We didn't do anything well this game offensively, but I didn't really, why didn't we pass more?
I really think that John Fox thinks that running the ball is the way to victory, and he actually echoed that after the game. He said, good things happen to teams that run the ball and dominate the clock. Issue is, the Bears didn't really run the ball all that well. They had 68 rushing yards, and they didn't dominate the clock.
No.
I mean, if you look at a 60-minute football game, the Panthers had the ball for 38 minutes. The Bears had the ball for 21. The only thing you can take from this game is that the defense continues to show up. This is a top 10 defense, and you and I talked about this before the season. They're strong up front. The linebackers are coming along, and I think the secondary has really shown you a lot, especially rookie safety Eddie Jackson, who came from Alabama. And Nick Saban, when Jackson was drafted by the Bears, he said, this guy has a nose for the football. He knows where it is. He knows how to find it. He knows how to take it away. And Jackson is the first player in the history of the NFL to have two return touchdowns in a single game over 75 yards. One of them was a fumble. The other one was an interception. He's just making plays all over the field. So that was good.
How long has he been in the league?
Four games.
Yeah, this is his rookie season. So think about that. A guy who has four games under his belt outscored our offense. Our offense in its entirety, right?
He outscored the offense and the entire Panthers team.
Okay. So
Eddie Jackson had four. Well, I guess Eddie Jackson had 14 points.
Right.
The Bears offense had three. The Panthers offense had three.
So who do we play next? Has that been published? Is that out in the newspapers yet?
The schedule? Who the Bears play next?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's set in stone in like July. They play the Saints next week in New Orleans.
Okay, so then they beat Green Bay, right?
Right, yeah. We had Green Bay in the Super Contest. We were getting 5.5 points. The Packers were winning or covering for 56 minutes. And then New Orleans had a gimme touchdown in the last couple of minutes, and we didn't get that cover. But, yeah, Green Bay without Aaron Rodgers, they're just so bad. I mean, it shows you how important that Aaron Rodgers is to a football team. He may be the most important player to his team. I'd say you look at Aaron Rodgers and then Tom Brady as the two most important players to their team. If they don't have that player, the team is completely different, and it's not even close.
Yeah, no kidding. Hold on a second. I'm getting a phone call.
You should take that.
Nah, I'm not sure who that is. You know, if the name does not appear on your screen, it means it's not somebody you've frequently spoken to. And therefore,
you ever get the calls from a number? It's 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9. You ever get those?
No. I get unknown.
I get them all the time.
What is 1-2?
I have no idea who it is.
What does 1 through 9 mean?
I have no idea. I never pick it up.
Oh, pick up on those. You know, when my wife's phone rings unknown, I pick it up, and she looks at me and rolls her eyes. She goes, oh, for God's sakes, what are you doing? You know, well, it's somebody calling. God bless them. They're making an effort. Let's find out what they want to say. I'll get back to you on that. Oh, 1-2-3-4-5-6-7-8-9. Never seen that. So the Bears are now like in second place in the division, right?
They're actually in last. They're 3-4, but they're only 2 games behind the Vikings.
And like I said, we're really in last place, if I'm not mistaken.
No, yeah, the Bears are in last. They're 3-4, but then you have the Lions at 3-3, the Packers at 4-3. So I would not be surprised by any means if the Bears win 7 or 8 games and finish in second place. I don't think they catch Minnesota because Minnesota's cooking. This seems to be their year, which is ironic because you just left Minnesota. But, no, I think 7 or 8 wins are in their grasp because this defense continues to impress. And I think Adam Hoge tweeted this out yesterday. He was talking about how he was talking with somebody that scouted the Bears, or he was a Bears coach or some scout coach.
About the Super Bowl defense?
That they have a Super Bowl defense. All right, right. Yeah, well, they have a high school offense. So you need to kind of you have to bridge that gap a little bit. So that's what I'm going to say. I mean, we knew coming in this was a transition year. You know, when you draft the rookie quarterback.
Wait, hold on a second, Sam. C. Bertrand needs to say something.
Which high school, Sam?
Mantino.
Oh, that's not good.
I was going to say, because I've seen some high school offenses that could probably put up 6 against the Panthers over the weekend. You know, the game that the observation I had that we were second place evidently is not borne out by the facts. But what was surprising and pleasant to see was that Northwestern in their division is in second place.
Yeah, nice win over Iowa. That was at home. The Cats came back. They had no points at half, so they look like the Bears offense through at least one half. But they found the Thunder in the second half, and they started to run the ball behind Justin Jackson, and they win 17-10 in overtime.
Yeah.
So it was a big game because, you know, you got to stay above 500, and the Cats were 3-3. They win that game. They're now 4-3. They're tied with Nebraska at 2-2, and then Wisconsin, of course, the cream of the crop in the West, the Big Ten West. They're 4-0. They haven't lost a game yet this year. They're 7-0 altogether. But, yeah, Northwestern's right there. They should win 6, 7, 8 games, and they should go to a nice bowl game.
Who wins, Northwestern or the Bears, if we get to have Northwestern? I don't know.
The Bears. The Bears, the Bears, the Bears.
Yeah,
that's a silly question.
I know. Strike it, Your Honor. All right.
That was that old question a couple years ago. Would Alabama beat the Jaguars?
I know,
no.
I know. Yeah,
it's a bunch of grown men against a bunch of 18, 19, and 20-year-olds.
I have a son who always gets annoyed at that. Like, you take the worst NBA team, and then you have the NCAA champion play the worst team in the NBA. And, you know, Grant's always going, no, don't you remember all of the guys on the worst NBA team were the best of the college class? That's how they got there. So it wouldn't even be close.
Right. Who would host a better radio show, King John or the best college radio host?
Exactly. Let's just leave it.
Exactly.
Steve, your mic's not on, so you really don't have anything
again,
to say.
Again, right, so now. Mantino High School, what's the college?
Joliet Central College, Joliet Community College.
Mm. Joliet Community College, that's Joliet Junior College. They are the Wolves. And under Jerry Yost, I was in 1980 their field goal kicker. I would appreciate it if you would remember that.
Is that the season you kicked every punt forward?
You still can't catch 5 punts, John. We all know that.
No, we had an incident in my high school career where some of the kicks that I engaged in did not finish in front of the point where my foot came in contact with the ball.
Some of them?
And Steve thinks that that's really funny.
No, I thought it's one hilarious. Was funny. Seven, so several's kind of, well, that's kind of sad.
I will just tell you this. So there we were playing Chicago Kennedy. We were the number one ranked junior college team in the United States of America. We were playing at Kennedy, though. We didn't enjoy the bus ride. There was some mold in the air conditioning unit on the bus. When we get out of the bus, we go in, and it's a kind of a soggy night, and we should have been able to handle Kennedy. I mean, Joliet Junior College football team, famous and stacked. We came out like a Big Ten team. We would have almost 100 kids in uniform, and a lot of them would go on to play Division I football, but for various reasons, grades, prison sentences, they were playing at the junior college at the time. I was their field goal kicker. I was a really good field goal kicker. I could kick the ball off 60 yards. I could put it in the end zone. I could kick a 40-yard field goal with relative ease. But all of us hoped that it would not come down to my ability to kick the field goal. Are you still with me, Sam? Is this line still on?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So, lo and behold, in the second half of the game, that is tied, we need a field goal. And the coach, like, you know, he can't believe any more than I can that these words are coming out of his mouth. He says, Williams, in. What happened next is not my fault. I'll have to finish that story in a minute. Sam Panionovich from WGN Radio Sports called in and asked me to tell a story about my college football kicking career. Are you still on the phone, Sam?
I'm here.
It was actually in 1979. I'll finish the story this way. So we're number one team in the United States for junior.
Did it happen in 1979, or did you start telling the story in 1979?
So it was 1979, and the Joliet Junior College Wolves are the number one ranked team in the United States of America. Under then head football coach Jerry Yost, Bill Foss was our defensive coordinator. I was on the special teams unit, and nobody knew that. I was the field goal kicker and punter for the squad, and I was pretty damn good. I could really kick the football pretty hard. In a game against Chicago Kennedy, as we were sporting our number one ranking, and they were not, we go into their place. In a critical moment in the game, we need a field goal. The coach throws me in there. I go out into the rain-soaked field, and as the ball is snapped to our wide receiver, he places the ball down for me to kick it flat. He lays it like a hard-boiled egg on its side. As I approached the ball, I realized this was not ideal, but this was no time to quibble. I kicked the ball as hard as I could, and at its peak, it achieved a height of approximately 22 inches. It bounced off the backside of one of our front guys and ricocheted in the opposite of the intended direction. Now, Steve, are you happy with that story?
I love it every time I hear it.
Yeah. So that's what happened to me, and as we came off the field, the coach literally picked me up by the front of my shoulder pads. I wasn't one of our larger players. He picks me up off the ground, and I happen to be taller than him. Just imagine the visual. And he says, "What did you do?" And I was thinking, well, when the ball was snapped, but he wasn't interested in what happened out there. He was just venting on me, and I thought, well, that's his right. It doesn't bother me anymore. I mean, I don't think he's ever heard my version of these events, but I've moved past it, Sam, and I want you to know that I'm a healed and well person now.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
You sent me a picture of Jake Arrieta. Why?
Because he shaved his beard. Isn't it a little? He looks a lot younger. He does this every offseason. He shaves that big, bushy beard off his face, and he's going clean shaven now for the offseason.
He looks great. He always was, but he's a very handsome fella.
Yeah, he looks better without the beard, I think, but that's his personality on the mound. He likes the beard. Another picture, these were shared by Brittany Arrieta, Jake's wife, a clean-shaven husband and a house for sale in Wrigley. So yeah, you may want to connect the dots there.
What could that possibly mean?
Well, he's gone. I don't think he's going to be a Cub anymore.
Yeah, I knew that.
I mean, that's what I meant.
I knew that, Sam. You don't have to call me stupid. Okay, it's 1:57 and I'm out of time. Will you come on my show on Saturday, my friend?
We can do it.
We'll talk about the Chicago Bulls boxing team a little later on, all right?
Okay, you got it.
That's Sam Panionovich, WGN Sports.